So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today I have Chris Ives from the Ilkley Brewery. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Excellent. So, Chris, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a little bit about you and the work that you do?
Yeah, I set up and run Ilkley Brewery, which we set up in 2009. The business is pretty much now a full-time career for me, although it's not how it started. I'm a chartered surveyor by background, and the recession drove me to look at different things to do as the property market collapsed around me, and we settled on brewing and haven't looked back since.
So, were you an avid beer drinker before you started brewing your own?
I've always been a beer fan, but
right.
I've never actually brewed a pint of beer before we settled on opening up a brewery. So it was a very steep learning curve for us, and have been successful, I think, more by luck than judgment, but have learnt on the job, so to speak.
Right.
I've taught myself to brew. I've taught myself where the problems are in the brewing process, and I also had a little bit of creativity in my brewing team that we've recruited recently to try and keep us moving forwards and do things as well as we can. But
yeah,
of course, I was a beer fan before I started brewing.
Excellent. But I mean, actually having to learn things from scratch, I mean, do you think that's been a help or a hindrance? Because some people would look at it sort of different ways, I guess. Some people think that you don't come with any baggage if you start from scratch, and some people think...
That's the help. I think the brewing process is quite often... it is a very straightforward process, but there are lots of tiny things that can go wrong, and they're the bits that you can learn as you go along. The basics are straightforward, but because I don't come from a brewing background, I think that helps, because I haven't got any hard and fast rules that I had to follow. I haven't been formally trained.
Right.
And I have talked to other brewers who have been through a university training program, and they approach brewing very differently to me, and I know I get very good results.
Uh-huh.
So I think that being self-taught in my case, in our brewery's case, has helped us rather than hindered us. But we've made lots of mistakes along the way, and I think every brewery will admit that every brew has the potential to be disastrous. So you just got to keep on top of it as much as you can and learn from your mistakes.
Well, indeed. But craft brewing and microbreweries, I mean, the whole... It seems to be that's in the... particularly in real ale, the real ale industry. I mean, that seems to... There's been a massive surge in popularity. I mean... And that seems to be the way there's real growth in the industry. Why is it that? Why do you think that is? Are people getting bored with the big brands and they want more variety? Are they becoming more discerning, or what's happening?
I think it's exactly that. It started back in the 1970s with the rise of the Campaign for Real Ale organisation.
Yeah.
And they spotted then that people weren't being offered choice anymore. That you're only able to drink mass produced, relatively bland beers and lagers.
Mm-hmm.
And they started to campaign then for real ale. But it was only until the latter part of the 1990s when the Labour government introduced a tax benefit scheme for small breweries that enabled small breweries to be competitive.
Ah.
And that's why you've seen such a rise in microbreweries, because they are now financially viable. I mean, it's still a very busy market, a very tight marketplace to operate in, but they are now viable.
Yeah.
But that they seem to couple with an appetite for locally sourced, locally made food and drink products anyway.
Yes.
And more people being interested in supporting local industry and wanting something that was hand-brewed, that had flavour, had character. And they were offered more choice in the bars. And I think it's all of those things together has, in the last 5 years, has suddenly led to this rush of new breweries opening up and down the country. They're all pretty successful. They're all brewing great beers. And we've been very lucky to ride that wave of interest. And we've also been very lucky that we've grown a lot quicker than most.
Yeah. I mean, because the other thing I was interested in is because the thing that I'm really interested in exploring and in interviews and on my blog, the stuff that I write about is how companies really connect with their customers and listen to the customers and learn from the customers in a way. Now, you mentioned the Campaign for Real Ale, which is kind of camera, and that's started back in the 70s, is that right?
Yes, it was. Started by beer enthusiasts who were fed up with being able to drink in their local pubs,
yeah.
Produce bland beers.
Yeah, well, But I know some people that have know some people that are friends of mine that are real ale, very ardent real ale drinkers, and they, you know, I know people that are part of kind of Camera as well, and they are very passionate customers and fans of beer, and also very discerning and things. And I'm trying to, I'm interested to find out a bit more about how you've done the listening to your customers kind of bit.
Well, it was from the very start that the first brews I brewed, we offered to a local group of beer enthusiasts, Camera members, friends, family,
right,
people that we knew visited our local pubs, and invited them down to the brewery and said, this is what we've brewed, tell us honestly what you think. And we've done that from the first brew to, I think today's brew is number 760-something, every single brew you want feedback on. And we promote that through social media a lot, mm-hmm. and inviting people to the brewery for open days, open evenings, brewery tours. We'll talk to our customers as often as we can and just make sure that what we're producing, what we're brewing, is exactly what the people that we're selling to and the drinking community want to enjoy. And that's why we have a continuous regime of improving every beer that we brew. I'm the worst critic of everything. Of every beer we brew, I'm never satisfied with what we put out. It can always be improved.
Yeah.
And we listen to our customers. The biggest problem for microbreweries is that our customers are not actually the consumer. We sell to pubs, we sell to supermarkets,
sure.
We sell to licenses. We can't really connect with the person that will buy that bottle of beer or buy that pint.
Yes.
Unless we get them to the brewery, or unless we talk to them through social media.
Yeah.
And that's, we found the most useful tool, word of mouth, and Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
We can listen to what people say about us and say about our beers, and we respond. We respond to positive and negative comments about us and the beers, and that enables us to continuously develop the business, continue to develop the beers, and engage with our customers.
I think also the reality with that is because you are dealing with something which is very, it's to do with your taste, your palate, sense of smell and things, that you're never going to be able to please all of the people all of the time.
No, and that's something we've never set out to do. There are very different markets, and we try to target all of them, as we do try and brew something for everybody. But the craft beer market that we're in, there's a much younger drinking set, and there's a drinking set that is increasingly becoming female interested in real ale.
Wow, really?
The scale. Yeah, there's the older members of the Campaign for Real Ale who know exactly what they want and are very discerning. And they're actually very different beers to brew.
Yes.
The more trendy beers, the trendy breweries that some of whom we try to brew similar beers and style to, have done extremely well. BrewDog's a great example of
yes.
that. Very, very contemporary, very very confrontational branding and beers. And then you go to the other end of the scale, some of the big old family brewers, Timothy Taylor's, Robinson's, Thwaites, who produce great beers, and have just started to be more creative in what they offer to their customers.
Yes.
We're somewhere in the middle, both in size and in what we produce. But we are finding that the younger drinkers and the interest in our brewery around the world is much more towards creativity in brewing,
mm-hmm.
using different raw materials and clever branding and clever promotion
mm-hmm.
Drive our business forwards. What sets us apart from a lot of the other breweries, of the 1,000 or so that are in the UK, is how we talk to our customers and how we keep pushing the business forwards.
It's obviously working because you won a bunch of awards, and you're growing sort of massively, I think, in terms of sales and exports and people. Yeah. I mean, new industry, new business. How are you keeping up?
We're just about keeping up is the honest answer. Demand is always exceeding supply. Our biggest problem is making sure the business continues to grow, but in a sustainable way.
Yeah.
We've looked at businesses, other breweries and other businesses in the food and drink sector and in other manufacturing industries who've seen huge opportunity, have grabbed it with both hands, and then haven't had a sustainable business plan and have tripped themselves up and have gone bust.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. So we're looking at growing our business steadily from here, but we can add more and more production capacity onto the brewery, but so long as there are customers still wanting to buy the beer. So we're spending more time looking at what we're brewing and who we're selling to at the moment, so that we can plan, we can forward plan. And I expect that within two or three years' time, we'll be twice the size that we are. We're currently brewing about 50,000 pints a week. I'd like to get that to 100,000 pints a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be driven by UK sales and exports. But we've got to be sensible about our aspirations and try and make sure we don't trip over our own feet as we continue to drive the business.
Sounds like a good dollop of Yorkshire good sense in there.
Well, we've got some good people working for us, and we all try and make sure that the business is just going to keep growing sensibly, and we keep brewing great beer. That's the primary objective.
Fantastic. And you mean a lot of your growth has been developed or has come through exports and sort of international markets. I mean, which markets are growing really quick for you kind of right now?
Well, we just started to export within the last couple of months. We started investigating export a year ago. And
it
took 9 months to identify the markets that we thought we had a good opportunity in. And we've only just had our first orders delivered into the United States and into Sweden.
Okay.
And those two were we identified as relatively easy to enter, but both have had different problems. The American market is vast, so we're doing it state by state, and we're just in one state at the moment in the southern US,
right.
In Alabama.
Okay.
Working with an import partner there, who will then start to move it across the US. And we found a partner to work with in Stockholm who will distribute in Sweden for us. But it's slowly for us. We don't know how well the beers will be received. They've only just on the bars and in the shops in both US and Sweden. If they sell well, we expect there to be more interest in our beers in other European countries and in the US states. And that is our biggest problem. If there is lots of interest and we've had positive feedback so far, we are going to struggle to keep up with the export demand, and that brings other challenges and problems. So we're going to just sit tight and see what happens over the next few months and continually monitor the situation. And hopefully the export business will grow.
One step at a time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, one, I'm fascinated, and two, I applaud you as being a surveyor that felt the, if you like, the pinch when the world changed, kind of come sort of 2007, 2008 with the financial markets readjustments and things, and particularly the housing market, and then decided that you're going to start a new business and in a completely different area and then just kind of crack on, I guess. And I'm thinking, that's brilliant. I applaud that, and I think that's fantastic. I mean, I guess one of the things I'd like to sort of know is, like, your learning curve must have been so rapid over the last, you know, couple of years and months and things. If you had your time again, is there anything that you would do differently?
I think I'd start with more ambition than I had. I had a very modest business plan to start with because we had no idea what we were doing and no idea whether what we were going to brew would appeal to the market with a limited amount of market research. Also, a limited amount of capital available to invest, and it was all my own money that was invested at a startup.
Right.
We couldn't get debt at the startup business. It was the lowest point of the recession. It was difficult to get going. With hindsight, and obviously knowing how successful we've been, it would have been beneficial for us to be a little bit braver, throw more money in and try and get going with the volume that we've now got a little bit earlier in the process.
Right.
I didn't think I'd do differently, but of course with hindsight, it's always easy to say that. What we did do, and we did absolutely right, is we went product first, so we made sure that the beers we were brewing were absolutely right, listened to the feedback we had from the very first brew, developed the beers. We were lucky that one of our beers won an award quite early on, but we used that as a platform to say what was good about that beer.
Sure.
And how we keep going. I think the other thing we probably do differently is look at export earlier, because it clearly is a great opportunity for us. And we didn't invest enough in plant machinery at the start, we could only service the UK market until we had enough working capital to invest again in more production capacity. So
yeah.
With hindsight, it's easy to criticise what you've done, but I think having more ambition and taking more risk is probably what I need to do when we start setting up.
Well, yeah, as you say, but I mean, hindsight. But at least what you're doing now is you're building a very, very solid foundation for future growth and not getting ahead of yourself as well.
Yeah, exactly. We're here for the long haul. This is never a get rich quick scheme.
No.
We're in to build a business that hopefully the people that work for us and the community hopefully can be proud of for a generation or more.
Well, fantastic, and I think that's and with a name like Ilkley Brewery, it feels already steeped in history and heritage.
Well, it is actually. The original brewery was built in the 1870s and was one of the biggest in West Yorkshire.
Right.
A contemporary of Timothy Taylor's, which is just over the hill from us here.
Uh-huh.
And they've obviously, they're still going. Ilkley Brewery was bought out ultimately by Bass in the 1920s, 1930s, and then closed down. So there's lots and lots of brewing heritage in the town. It's got great Yorkshire water and great environment to operate out of. And we have resurrected a very old brewing brand and brought it right up to date with the way that we brew and the marketing that we're how we market our beer and market the business.
So Ilkley Brewery rises again.
Absolutely
fantastic. So Chris, I always round off these interviews with just two things. Well, one is I say to people, is there anything that you'd like to add or like to share with our sort of readers and listeners that we you haven't really covered? And finally, is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Well, firstly, I'd like to add that I've learned that it's never too late to change career. It's never too late to take a risk and just do what you want to do, get on with it and do something you enjoy. So if you're stuck in a rut, just take some time out and have a think about it, and you'd be surprised at how many opportunities open up. And shamelessly plug, we just won a big prize at a beer battle in London for a new beer that we've brewed for export, but it's now going to go on sale in the UK as well, which is a 6% version of our award-winning Mary Jane. And we're really surprised to win a blind tasting competition in East London on Saturday.
Right.
That's against one of the best brewers in the country. So if you see Mary Jane IPA on the bar anywhere, please try it, because it's absolutely fantastic. We're really proud of that one.
That's fantastic, Chris. That's thank you for your time and your insight. That's been really, really, really fascinating.
Great. Thank you very much for calling me.